Welcome to Get Over It, the Intuitive Transformation Podcast for Exceptional 21st Century Living. We've got a wonderful show about animal communication tonight. We've got Sandra Mendelson with us, and we're going to be talking about animal communication and her book, We Walk Beside You, Animal Messages for an Awakening World. So sit back, relax. If you got a little fur baby in the house, or your fishies, or your birdies, or whatever it is, bring them in the room. Let them hear this energy so that we can have a connection and have an understanding. Now, the information shared on Get Over It uses intuitive and pragmatic insight to help you break through the blocks and release energy that is no longer needed. Yes, we're going to help you release your BS that is holding you back. And you guys know I always ask this question. The real question is, are you ready to release that BS? Now, by the way, folks, BS is belief system. Now, a bit about me for my new listeners, intuitive since birth. I'm a third-generation intuitive with over 3 decades of experience helping people break through the blocks along their path. I'm a strategist for personal and professional transformation, revealing information which enables you to become a master builder of your life. I spent 25 successful years in corporate America as an executive sales professional, and I'm the founder of Healing Visions Ministries and the Northern California Children's Education Network, a 501c3 nonprofit. I authored Getting Your M&Ms, the Men and Money Book, and Masterful Choices, the Key to Easy, Effective Change. I provide consultations and healings regarding relationships, business, career, money, and love that heal the mind-body-spirit connection, allowing you to live your life to the fullest. Now, my clients say that I keep it real while providing them with accurate information to assist them along their journey as a spirit living a human existence. But they also say, if you really don't want to know, don't ask Monique. My background includes a doctorate in metaphysics, Reiki master teacher, ordained minister, and clinical hypnotherapist. So whether you are stressed, depressed, or possessed, I can help. To find out more about me and the services I offer, go to my website, MoniqueChapman.com. I invite you to like me on Facebook, follow me on Twitter and LinkedIn. You can also sign up for my opt-in newsletter, Intuitive Living, on my website. And again, that's MoniqueChapman.com. Communicating through the vehicle of telepathy from one mind to another, members of the animal kingdom step forward to reveal what they want humans to finally know. From the blue whales to our beloved animal companions, they disclose witty and hilarious observations of human conduct and rectify our long-held misconceptions about their behavior. Even more significantly, they deliver messages filled with hope, inspiration, and vision that are so badly needed in our current human world. My guest tonight, Sandra Mendelson, facilitates a deeper understanding between humans and non-humans, evolved from her work as a certified polychromatic light therapist, equine photopuncture therapist, and health coach. She is a channel of human consciousness and shares messages from the animal kingdom for the benefit of human. The author of multiple articles on human and animal well-being, Sandra is a magna cum laude graduate of the University of Pennsylvania. And she's at work on her second book right now, and we'll find out a little bit more about that in a moment. And you can check her out by visiting her website, and that's smendelson.com. I'll spell that out for you, smendelson.com. Welcome, Sandra.
Well, thank you. It's good to be here.
Hey, it's great to have you. I absolutely love the book, We Walk Beside You, Animal Messages for an Awakened World. And I especially love your card deck of the same name, 52 cards in the deck. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that in a few moments. When did you begin to connect with animals?
Well, you know, it didn't happen when I was a kid. I wasn't born with some kind of telepathic abilities that I was aware of, not until the age of 52, mm-hmm. when I was doing body work on a horse, did this entire experience unfold for me.
Okay. So why do you think it was the horse that opened the channel for the communication?
Well, you know something, what I've learned both from horses and from other animals is that horses are extremely ethereal creatures. I mean, if you talk to somebody that has a horse, and they'll say, he's not in his body right now. I don't know where he is, but he has checked out. Well, I finally found out from a horse where they go. And this was the very first horse that kind of spun my entire concept of animal consciousness and awareness and wisdom completely on its ear. When one of the things he said was, horses are sending love to humans all the time. And I thought, where did they get the energy from? And he went on and said, we leave our bodies to connect with all that is because our frequency gets lower being in a body.
Mm-hmm.
So, and other animals told me horses get their, animals get their energy in different ways. Some mm-hmm. are grounded animals that bring the energy up through their a cord into their navel.
Mm-hmm.
Birds get their energy mercurially through the transmission of information that others act on. And oh. horses are ethereal. They go up or out.
No, interesting. Well, when you were talking about horses, it reminded me of this TV show a long time ago. It was called Mr. Ed, and Mr. Ed was a talking horse. And Mr. Ed always shared wisdom. So it's interesting. And it was, you know, this is black and white TV way back when, folks. So if you're not a certain mm-hmm. age, it's not going to make any sense to you. But the horse always shared wonderful wisdom and common sense with people. Now, you've had cats and dogs in your household, but never a horse. So how did you make that connection to the horse?
Well, you know, you never know if what you're experiencing at a point in your life is a stepping stone or a landing pad. And, you know, after 26 years in corporate, I became a health coach because I really cared more about the health and well-being of people than the business transactions. Mm-hmm. And through the coaching and working with light tools to help the body heal, like red and infrared light, I was then able to work on both animals and humans. And I was surrounded by barns, and I had never really ridden more than a couple of times in my life, but I was just, you know, you love them so much from afar. So mm-hmm. I became certified to do equine photopuncture, which is basically acupuncture using light instead of needles, light waves.
Okay.
And that's how I found myself working on a horse 5 years ago. And I was down by his foot, which was injured, and I heard a voice boom loudly in my head, this hay is crap. I looked up, and we're alone in the barn. There's no one there. It's bitter cold. And I noticed he's kind of flinging hay away with his nose. And about 5 or 10 minutes later, one of the horse moms walked into the barn and announced, there's mold all over the hay.
Oh, wow.
So that was the very unglamorous beginning, hearing animals. And so, it took a full 3 years until I could fully embrace that I wasn't making it up. You know, I had to solve problems uh-huh. for people, you know, when their horse had an issue and no uh-huh. one could solve it, and the horse gave me the answer. So 3 years of that before I could fully embrace what the horses were sharing.
Okay, but when was it when you first believed that the horse was actually talking to you and you weren't going psychotic?
Well, you know, it happened pretty quickly because after that, you know, that first encounter with the haze crap, a few weeks later, a horse down the road that, you know, said they leave their bodies and said, you know, when the barn closes, we can be our true selves. We hear the birds speak, the plants speak. Everything speaks.
Mm-hmm.
So that's when I really had one of those, okay, you're making this up. Came back to the barn the next week with my head down, humbled, you know, and the horse headbutted me out of his stall into the aisle. And I heard, you bought into the illusion again. We need you.
Whoa.
So there were things, and I sat there meditating. He's like, and my hands were like electrified. And mm-hmm. he said, you feel that? Yep, I sent that to you. This is what we do. We heal with our bodies and talk with our minds. So things started to come to me that I could not ever have made up in a uh-huh. million years.
Uh-huh.
I mean, if a horse says, you know, we at the barn are all very sad. Why? Because our human mom is sick and she doesn't know it. Where is she uh-huh. sick? In her lady parts.
Uh-huh.
Well, I wasn't going to go to the person, but my friend knew her very well and marched herself right up and said that she goes, my last two gyno exams were abnormal. My friend said, get yourself back to the doctor. Your horse may have just saved your life.
Mm-hmm.
So when stuff like that comes up that you could not ever know or make up, you start to believe. Because you don't have an option.
No. Well, you do have an option. You cannot believe, but you're not walking your path. You're not walking your truth at that point. And, you know, it's just amazing how when we become quiet, because I would imagine that when you were working with the horse's foot that you were a bit quiet and you just opened yourself to be able to receive the message that was being sent.
You know, brilliant point, because it doesn't take mental gymnastics. It's the simplification when you just allow. Now, when you're working on a horse, you need to be fully present because you're going to get stepped on or mm-hmm. suffer some other worse humiliation if you are not meeting that horse where they are. In the moment, total attention, mind here, not mm-hmm. yesterday or tomorrow. So, you know, you're right. It was just, by definition, I became quiet.
Well, go ahead. You became quiet and
that allowed, I wasn't trying. You know, when people want to know how to get started connecting with animals, it's the total opposite of what we're used to, which is striving, trying, having a plan, having an agenda. It's the opposite, to get into your intuitive self, into receptive mode, not mm-hmm. creation achievement mode.
Interesting, because you're talking about, you know, connecting with the animals, and what you've said is the same thing with just connecting with spirit altogether. It's all the same. Your vehicle, if you will, are the different animals. And you had said earlier how different animals come from different places so that they can help us through our journey. The one animal you mentioned was a bird. I have got this fear of birds. If I'm walking down the street and a pigeon comes and he lands near me, I'm crossing the street. I don't know what it is, but birds and fish, I've got this thing where I'm like, no, thank you. Don't even eat fish.
Okay. But I don't know. You think you came in with that from another time or something?
Oh, yeah, I know where the bird... The bird thing, I was attacked in a previous life, and then the fish thing came because at some point I was a slave. I don't think it was American slavery, but slavery someplace else, and I was thrown overboard because the boat was too heavy, so I was thrown overboard, so that's where the fish thing came from. So I understand where, but I guess I'm just not ready to heal that at the moment. But it's interesting because now I'll pay attention. I was in my backyard once, and this bird came. It was a little black bird. I don't know what it was. It wasn't a crow or a raven. It was smaller than that. And he's like flying right next to me, eye level. And I'm freaking out, okay? And inside, I'm trying to be still, but I'm freaking out. And he's looking at me, so I know he was trying to talk to me. But I was so freaked out, I couldn't get the message. So if someone finds themselves in a situation like that, what should they do? Because the bird was obviously trying to tell me something. He's looking at me. He's flapping his wings, staying at eye level. So that had to be some type of communication.
Yeah, and this is, people are doing a lot of this. But once you open the door and then people step forward and share, oh my goodness, this happened, you know, a terminal illness and a bird banging on their window every single day during chemo.
Mm-hmm.
You know, many, many stories of animals trying to get through to us, bringing through messages of spirit or, you know, a really good animal symbol book is wonderful to explain, okay, what's the meaning behind why that crow showed up really in my face, or a snake. Right before I went on a very transformative trip, which really opened me up to the animals, the night before there was a milk snake right on my doorstep. And there was a frog. I mean, everybody was showing up on my doorstep. And after that trip, never again, you know. So, you know, the one thing I can just say to people is, you know, if you have a fear around it, which you did in this case, here's yet another opportunity to look at that and say, this is the past. There's nothing happening here. You know, most of our misery comes from the past, or worry about the future.
Yeah, our refusal to let it go. Yeah.
Okay, well, you got a lot on your plate, so, I mean, there's always time.
Well, but you know what? You know, it just goes to point out that people, like, you know, us, we're talking on the radio, you've written books, I've written books, but we still have lessons to learn.
Of course.
Okay? We're still going through it. People sometimes, you know, look at people like us and say, oh, you're perfect, you got everything worked out, you know. And it's like, no. In fact, people who are on their path and putting information out for others often get harder lessons, if you will, to work through so that they can truly share from a soul perspective. And I'm so glad that you connected with the animals to do this. Folks, we're speaking with Sandra Mendelson. She's the author of We Walk Beside You, Animal Messages for an Awakened World. You can find out more about her by going to her website, and that's smendelson.com. I'll spell that out, smendelson.com. Okay, so Sandra, you're doing all of this, you're talking with the animals, whether they're horses or whatever. Is it truly communication, or is it a form of channeling?
Oh, that's a really good question, because the first thing animal communicators, and they are popping up everywhere, will tell you is we all have the ability to connect with all of life and to understand what animals are trying to get through to us. If you start Googling channeling, you get all kinds of crazy definitions. So the only thing that I can share is, through my experience, channeling meant, you know, whether I was woken up in the middle of the night or I just sat there in front of a horse and the pen started going and I never even asked a question other than, what do you want us to know? Mm-hmm. It was like almost like a download, you know what I mean? It just comes. And then over time, I was a little bolder and said, all right, let's ask some questions. And then there was more of a back and forth. I mean, to have a conversation with a lion somewhere in Africa from your bed and go back and forth, I mean, it's never dull in my house, for sure, but that was probably the most fascinating thing. Like, I would have to say that was a channeling, because I had this thought in my head about something that lions do that still wasn't resolved. So I had some interactions with the lions, and, you know, telepathically. But this one thing was getting to me, because my mother told me, you know, if a lion with a family, so let's say a male, a female, and cubs, the male has a fight with an outside lion, and the outsider wins. Why does he kill the cubs? And it was bothering me. Mm-hmm. So I'm having this telepathic communication with a squirrel from my bed, and all of a sudden he gets totally quiet, and I feel this big presence. And the lion steps forward to answer the question that had been burning on my mind. He said, you know, I'm equipped to handle your line of questioning. Mm-hmm. And he talks about power and bloodline. And I mean, it's a really incredible conversation. Then it ends, and I hear the squirrel. He goes, phew, that was a close one. I said, what? He said, I've never met a lion, and I don't want to. His energy is big. I said, how would you feel him? Like, how did this squirrel know I was having a conversation with a lion? He said, energetically, of course, everything is energy. Mm. So that, this channeling, and right, a channeling and a communication, because communication was going back and forth. Mm-hmm. Usually animal communication is to, you know, it's created by the human to solve a problem. You know, typically, that's what people are hired for. But, you know, this was really much more of a common, the book is a combination of communication and channelings. So I am hired by people to tap into their animals, either here or on the other side. Mm-hmm. And that I call communication, because I have instigated it. But channeling just can come, you know, when you're thinking about a question and all of a sudden, boom.
Okay, just being open to what you're receiving. It's interesting, you talked about you can communicate with animals here or the other side. What have animals in general said once they've crossed over? Do they come back and talk about their human parent, or do they talk about what's, you know, going on in the world? What is their biggest concern once they've crossed over?
Well, I can tell you one thing. They're very clear.
Yeah,
they're
okay.
So clear when they're on the other side. They're not surrounded by humans. Mm-hmm. They're not suffering an illness. They're not suffering with pain and trying to put on a brave face, you know. Sometimes when I talk to animals that are really suffering, it's not just exhausting because you feel their energy, but they may not talk about their ailment in detail. They only focus on what they want to have happen, on the goodness, on the gratitude. When they're on the other side, and again, you know, I haven't spoken to every animal in the world, nor will I ever. But the ones that have come through, because of where my focus was, is what can we share with humans? What do you want us to know? One horse, for example, who I knew in real form here at a rescue, stepped forward and said, you know, I'd like to share my experience of what it's like to transition, because I know humans have so many questions about that. So it was always with helping in mind. You know, when they come through from the other side, it's not unlike those of our dearly departed, they're in another place where they are no longer suffering with pain or trials and tribulations, and it's always gratitude and helping and insight to share with us.
Wow, that's powerful. You know, when you were talking about that, it brought one thing to mind, and I can't remember who it is. It might be Celine Dion. I'm not sure. Somebody recently cloned their dog. Did you hear about this?
Barbara Streisand.
Oh, Streisand. Okay. share your thoughts.
Yikes.
I've got mixed emotions.
Yikes. Okay.
And again, your thoughts.
Yeah, my thoughts are simply based on where the person's coming from and what their belief system is about. Mm-hmm. If you believe you can bring back the soul of your dog by cloning the cells, then clearly that's why she did that. From everything I have learned from the animals, your soul makes the decision about what you're going to come back as, because that's where the lessons are. Everything is about lessons. So as a skunk told me, this time I'm a skunk, next time a walrus, or a porpoise, or even a human. But you have to be ready for that, because it's complicated and you have to live in your head and have your senses dumbed down. So an entirely, you know, I had animal after animal telling me how they knew when it was time to die. And, you know, do they believe that they're coming back? What a tiger said to me is, no, humans believe some. We know. We just do not know what form will hold the lessons our soul needs to learn. It's always a surprise. Mm-hmm. So clearly, if someone is cloning their animal, they believe that the cells carry the soul. And that is not where my particular belief system lies.
Mm-hmm. And if it brought her comfort, I'm glad she has that comfort. But, you know, in my thought field, it's just freaking weird. But, again, that's true. Just me, and we're all entitled to our opinion. But
well, the soul of her dog is not going to inhabit this new embryo, okay? You
exactly.
Cannot control that. You can make the cells turn into a shell, a form, like the ones we all inhabit. But the soul, I'm sorry, you know, all the cloning in the world cannot control life and death.
She admitted to it. She said that, I think there are two dogs, and she said neither's personality is like the dog that they were cloned from. And, you know, and I'm like, yeah, you're not going to bring that back. You should have just went and got another dog. But again, that's just me.
Look, you know what? That's the magic of trusting your path, and the animal that you are brought in contact with is the one that holds lessons for you to learn. You know, by cloning, you've taken yourself out of that beautiful, magical kind of circle, you know.
And then there was also a movie maybe about a year back. I don't remember the exact timing. And it was about a dog and a little boy. And, of course, they both grew up. The dog died, and he came back in different forms to the man.
Dog's purpose.
And, I didn't go see it because I saw a piece that the dogs weren't treated right. They weren't treated well during the film, so I didn't go see it. But what did you think about that? Do you think that the dog really could be with you as, you know, a child and then come back to you in another form as an adult and still have the same memory?
Absolutely. I do. And I know animal communicators that it happened to, where they had a whippet who came back as a Leon Burger, which is like you would never recognize, because a Leon Burger is a huge dog.
Okay.
And I've read stories like that. And when I had to say goodbye to my 16-year-old black Pomeranian, all I know is that I wanted so badly, as I grew after that, and, you know, I hadn't been communicating with animals yet, I wanted the chance to get it right.
Mm-hmm.
And I never knew if I would ever have that opportunity. I knew it. I just held the possibility that maybe I would encounter her spirit again. And years went by, and 2 years ago, I saw this small black dog on rescueme.org.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked at this picture that I had the young man send to me, and all I heard in my head was, "What took you so long? We have work to do." I drove 3 hours to get the dog. He trots down the driveway, licks me on the nose. We go upstairs, and he falls asleep with his head on my leg.
Aww.
And when my family met him, they said, "It's Nika. It's Nika." I'm like, no, is it soul fragments? Is it the, I have no proof of that. But when this dog told me how he found me, how he tuned into my energy field, and it wasn't easy, but it was his purpose. Uh-huh. Love is the purpose. That's what blew me away entirely. I am so madly in love with this being. I broke the baby talk habit, by the way, because he came fully formed. Like, you would feel silly speaking baby talk to this dog. And when anybody does, when they meet him in public, I just smile. Because, all I know is that I totally have a path. I cannot prove this was her come back better and stronger. Timing-wise, it certainly would have been possible. It's just that rightness. That you feel like you've picked up in the middle of a story instead of starting from scratch.
Mm-hmm.
You feel like you picked up where you left off.
Yeah, it's like an inner knowing. When I was 5, my dad brought home a dog, and I named him Zip after the newspaper thing that the kindergartners had. And Zip passed away when I was 20, and of course I was heartbroken. And he was a beagle, tan and white beagle. And I've had other dog sets, and it just wasn't the same connection as with Zip. Zip and I were best friends. We lived on 14 acres, so we'd go hiking together, get lost in the woods, and all of that. So I now have Sadie Mae, who is 7. She'll be 7 in September. She's a cocker, King Charles Cavalier. She's tan and white. She was born in my house. When I picked her up, there was an immediate connection, and we're together all the time. It's like I know what she's thinking. She knows what I'm thinking, and we just move forward just like it was Zip. You know, we had the same relationship that I had with Zip, and I've had other dogs in the meantime, and it just wasn't the same. So, you know, and the same color and all of that, she's just smaller and fluffier, but, you know, I know that if it's not Zip, Zip is definitely with her, you know, because...
I am with you entirely. You can bring up this question to different people, and so many people will say, I know this one is that dog. You know, we poo-poo our inner knowing. We poo-poo the things that are squishy and less definable. But, we have no experience trusting our inner wisdom. We just had to learn the life of the mind.
Yeah,
and that's what this is going on right now, where people are starting to say, yeah, that is the same being that's come back to me. And it feels like magic.
Yeah, because, I mean, you're so happy, and it's a groundedness that you feel within the core of your being, you know, so it's a different feeling. You know, when I was reading your book, We Walk Beside You, the major point that I got of reading the book was the animals tell us that self-love is paramount. And I struggled with that a little bit because, again, I've got my lessons like everybody else. And I'm like, okay, I got to love myself. I got to love myself. And when I was working with your cards, every card that I pulled up, and there's 52 cards, folks, every card that I pulled up had something to do with self-love.
People keep telling me that they're getting the message that they need, and I didn't call them oracle cards. I didn't want to put any labels on them. I just wanted people to have whatever experience they had. Pull up a card, read it look at it for a week, whatever you want to do. And you are not the first person that has, is getting the soul message that you need. Consciousness is, whether it comes through the Dalai Lama or it comes through a priest or an angel or dearly departed or an animal. You know, if they're not squashed in their ego, they can bring through this kind of wisdom, and boom, you just, you got a dose of it.
while I was talking about that, I picked up the cards, and I just picked one out of the middle, and what I picked out was the crow, and it says, self-love is sometimes breaking your own rules because they no longer serve you, and you created them when you knew less about yourself and life. And, I mean, that's so appropriate for everybody. But it was just interesting that I picked out that particular card as we were talking about self-love. So talk to us a bit about these wonderful cards that are the same name as the book, We Walk Beside You, Animal Message Cards. Tell us about that. How did you create it? How did you get the messages for the various animals?
Oh, sure. I put, and they're both on Amazon to make them easily available to people. Mm-hmm. as I was channeling and writing the book, I was making post-its and putting them all over my apartment so that I could hold on to the one-liners that just seemed to go right to the core of who I am. And because I wanted to embrace the animal wisdom. I wanted to put it into my life because it was making me happier and more peaceful and confident and just more easygoing whenever I could really digest and process what they were telling me. So I said, you know what, make a deck of cards because people will read the book. And when we're reading a book, we're in our head. We might be zooming through. We may have an issue about how fast we read. There's a lot in there that the animals have shared. So the only way to make it easy for people is to do sound bites. So I created these cards. I had so many from the horses that I tried to go back and say, okay, make it more across many species. I probably could make an entirely second deck from what the animals shared. And interestingly enough, I still pull one every day. And you can go, as with any oracle cards, you can go a year without ever seeing certain cards, right? You shuffle them, and they never come up. You're like, there's never an accident to what message you receive.
There sure isn't. And, you know, again, it's a point of focus. It's a way that you can pay attention to what's going on in your life. So as she said, since the card and the book is available on Amazon, the cards are a lot of fun. Okay, so if you want to, you know, get the cards and just play a little bit, definitely get the cards. But the book is the wonderful companion that will help you through working with the cards. And again, it's a lot of fun. The book is an easy read. Okay, you get insight on different animals because a couple of times I was like, oh, okay. And, you know, I had a few aha moments. And she also has pictures in the book, and it's absolutely wonderful. And it takes you out of mass mind consciousness so that you can just be in present time with the information shared on the book. And Sandra, speaking about mass mind consciousness, in your book you talk about there is no such thing as a private thought. Expand on that for me.
Well, believe it or not, you know, I had certain animals, like horses, refer to the grid or the web. And I kind of thought, okay, the web of life. I had no idea really what they were talking about. Not until the squirrels came through and clarified this whole thing did I truly understand how animals connect with all other forms of life and know what's going on with us. Imagine an internet, but no need for computers. As the squirrels told me, there is this web that connects all things, all living things, and only humans can't see it. So imagine, you know, if you have a thought and you could actually see how that thought traveled through the web and affected another person, you might actually choose differently, knowing how much power your thoughts and intentions have. Well, this web, this connective web, is where all the information apparently is stored. So what's going on around the world goes into the web. What dogs see on TV goes into the web. And that's how, and it's a big cognitive leap to get your arms around this one, that is how the animals know what is happening in the human world and why they haven't given up on us. They feel mass consciousness rising. They know faster and way ahead of us about all the goodness that's going on inside of people. The desire to change things, to stop buying into things that incapacitate and disempower us and lead us away from our true selves. So that is, I think, one of the most breathtaking things that I had to wrap my head around was that, okay, animals really do know what mass consciousness is, where it is right now, how it is leaping forward, and that's probably why they, you know, contrary to Stephen King's books, there is not going to be an animal uprising anytime in the near future, is my prediction.
Oh, okay. Well,
they've been waiting for us to catch up to them, if you will, and absorb some of this so that we would heal ourselves and our world and, you know, go to love and nurturing and happiness and all the, you know, joy. I mean, there's a lot of that in the book.
Well, it's interesting because, you know, they're waiting for us. As a race of people, we always thought that we were the highest level, that we were in charge. And, you know, we might make things, and we might create physical things, but the animal kingdom, and I'm talking from the smallest, I don't know, gnat to the largest animal, they're in charge. Mm-hmm. We just don't realize it. You know, they're not in the matrix. We are.
That's exactly right. And you know what? If we don't reciprocate, like when the bees came through and they were talking about loyalty and they said, mm-hmm. you know, if we don't reciprocate their loyalty, and what that means is standing up, if you will, against neonics, which are destroying mm-hmm. them, and we'll also remove 40% of the produce from our shelves. But if we don't, they will simply move on to another plane. Like I asked about extinction, you know, and I had a hippo say, you know, it's like you're on a bus and you're still going to get off. He sounded like Louis Armstrong. That one killed
me. Oh, my goodness.
So the bus is still going to make its stops. You know, you can hasten it or not. But and humans are hastening the process. But, you know, the animals are kind of beyond that. If we can't take care of them, they will leave. They will leave and go to another dimension.
And we're about to send ourselves to another dimension if we don't start taking care of ourselves also. But in your book, you didn't include any channelings or any conversations with animals that are suffering from abuse, you know, the ones in factory farms or testing labs or whatever. Why not?
You know what? That's also an excellent question. I'm glad you asked it because I wanted to honor the intention of the animals. I did ask questions about, you know, everybody wants to know how do animals feel about being eaten, and just to answer that one really quickly since it's so popular, the animals have come through repeatedly and have never, since the dawn of time, had a problem with giving their life to a family and a village that treated them well. Their feet were on the grass, you know, on Mother Earth. They lived well until it was time to leave this body and dedicate it, if you will, sacrifice it to humans. That in and of itself is pretty mind-blowing. But it's what we have done through factory farming and the torture chambers of the testing that I won't go into that has, that's, you know, their lives are just incomprehensibly horrible. Mm-hmm. The animals don't want to focus there because that's not where the change will come from what they have shared with me. The change has to come from seeing what you want to have happen and committing to that. It doesn't mean that people that are rescuing are not doing amazing work. That's also critically needed. Mm-hmm. But I'm only sharing what the animal's intention was. And those that have come through for me wanted me to focus on things the way animals do. They focus on the positive, so more of it will be created. So that's why they showed up the way they did in this book.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, we have enough negative as it is, so I guess I didn't need to share that. So if someone's looking to connect with the animals, you have this special bond with horses, even though you don't have one. Is there a particular animal that you should focus on or pick, or does the animal come to you once you express the desire to make the connection?
Well, you know what? I always tell people it's easiest to start with the animals you know best, the ones you see the most, so the animals that share your house or your farm, in this order, your house, your farm, your neighborhood.
Okay.
And the best way, I actually posted something on my blog at smendelson.com, how to begin connecting with animals. And it gives people a bunch of different things to consider, points, steps to take, because it all comes from within us, from getting in a calm place, from, you know, getting out of your head, having no agenda, trusting what you get. You know, there's over 8 different ways that humans can receive messages outside of their 5 senses. So it can be, you may hear, which is a little bit more rare, hearing words in your head. You may see images. You may just have that sense of instant knowing, which is much more popular. Or kinesthetically, you could feel something in your body like, oh, that animal's leg hurts. Because telepathy is the transference of thoughts, images, emotions, things like that. So it's being open to what your own gifts are and basically having a pad and writing it down. So yeah, that's on my website. There's a good primer, I guess.
Okay. So when we go to smendelson.com, what else are we going to find besides your wonderful blog and this beautiful horse that's looking at me?
Well, you know, there's an interview that I gave recently to explain how this all happened, because, you know, for people that have a hard time believing that animals could communicate in this way, it's always good to watch that short video, because it took me by shock, too. There are interviews and articles there. There's also access to the book and the cards.
Okay.
And, of course, most importantly, is means by which we can stay in contact, because I love people's feedback. It's critical, because this is just part of a global wake-up. You know, these are abilities we all have. This is not my show. So when people write and say, oh, this validated them, they were squashing what they thought, and now they're trusting it, and they're able to understand their dog, and pay attention and slow down, which are the keys to getting out of the human vibration and into the animal vibration, and which is one of love. You know, putting your hand on your heart first is a good reminder.
Yeah. Well, what I've learned to do with Sadie when I really want to, you know, connect with her deeper, I put one hand on my heart and the other hand on her heart. We just sit there, and there's no TV, there's no noise. We're just sitting generally outside, because she loves to be outside. And we just sit in the sun. We're both working on our suntans. And, you know, it's amazing, the connection. As I said, it's a deeper, deep connection. In fact, I call her my daughter. people say, you're nuts. I'm like, yep. I am, but she's my little girl. So what words of wisdom, Sandra, would you like to leave with the audience about your work and about our time together today?
Well, I love this interview. You know, you attract other mind openings, as the animals refer to humans who are waking up. So I think, you know, the point is, there is this really magical world right under our noses where we just never thought it was possible. You know, we were so stuck in this mind, as we know the conscious mind only perceives 1% of what's going on. And I really believe the animals have stepped forward at this time because enough of us are opening up ourselves enough to embrace what the animals have to share. So, you know, the takeaway from the book is we have so many gifts inside of us that we haven't explored, and these gifts lead us to our true happiness, true joy. And the animals have so much to share to point us there that I think people will really find it very uplifting to open up to this element of life. And you know what? Even try the squirrel experiment. I like to tell people, if you're not sure whether or not animals communicate through the thought stream, it's always nice to have a little proof.
Okay.
So the next time you're walking outside, and most squirrels will run away from you because they read people's thoughts, and most of us have really junky ones. But if, in fact, that's what they told me. If, in fact, you know, a squirrel is not running away from you and you see one on a tree, mentally, with your mind, not your mouth, just say the words, good morning or good afternoon. It is lovely to see you. I hope you have a wonderful day. And when you start seeing that squirrel, stop in its tracks and just hang off the tree, staring at you in amazement for as long as 10 minutes or 15 minutes. You know, you do that a few times, you go, I'm not making this up.
Yeah. Huh.
And people need to have that for their own, you know, validation.
Validation, yeah, so they can say, yep, it's real, because, you know, we're a bit linear, so we're working on becoming non-linear, folks, so that we can get everything. So, folks, we've been speaking with Sandra Mendelson. Her book, We Walk Beside You, Animal Messages for an Awakened World. Check her out at smendelson.com. Her book is there. The cards are there. You can also go to Amazon and get it. Sandra, and to the audience, I really thank you, and I'm honored that you're with me tonight as we collectively get over it and start paying attention to the messages from the animals so that we can have our awakened world. When you're ready to live a more balanced life, give me a call. Intuitive consultations, 30 minutes or longer, are offered at a 10% discount if you mention the podcast. Love yourself enough to make an investment in yourself. Make that call at 888-240-6057. And remember, the most important choice that you can make is what you choose to make important. Consider making the masterful choice of love. Abundant blessings, light and love to all. Namaste.